at Breaking News. I'm Mitch Light. He's Ari Wasserman. We weren't sure when this was going to happen. There have been some smoke recently, but Arch Manning commits to the University of Texas. How surprised were you? How surprised did you read that happened today? How surprised were you that it's the University of Texas?
I was laying on my couch with my shirt off when it happened. So if
perfect.
That helps you.
So basically just a Thursday
morning. Yeah, morning, you know, doing some reporting. And I was talking to Coach Mike Elko for a story when it happened. So
did you tell Elko that he did not get Arch?
Yeah, he was pretty disappointed. But yeah. I, you know, I guess I'll put it this way. Name another recruitment in the time that we've been working together or another recruit in the last 10, 15 years that would cause us to do what we're doing right now. Like, I think that this encapsulates the entire, you know, vibe of what this means. So, you know, and the column that I wrote was that he's the most impactful, you know, commitment in the history of recruiting. And people are tweeting at me, that's hyperbole, and telling me about Vince Young and, you know, other people who went on to do great things. But if you look at it from the sense of what that commitment meant the day it happened, not with the history of what happened afterward, there have been plenty of good players that have committed and have gone to change their programs. But on the day that it happened, this is the most impactful commitment that I've seen in my career. So,
for a 5-win team, we know it's the University of Texas, but
right.
It's like Arch's, all quarterbacks like that have big egos. All coaches have big egos, but it's not like he's going to one of those places that, you know, barring catastrophe, is going to be in the playoff hunt. I mean, we think that's possible with him now. You're a big Texas is back guy. This is a leap.
Oh, you thought I was before.
Oh, okay.
wait. Till now. No, yeah. I don't know. It's like, you asked me, are you surprised that it happened today? And it's just like, well, when you're talking about somebody who just did the whole process on his own terms, didn't really speak to the media much. All you had was speculation of what you think could happen. My speculation, and I said it on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Looking like an idiot now, but I said I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, waited till, you know, the end of fall and did it at the end of the cycle, like most players in his position do. And the reason why I thought that was because if you look at the way that he's approached his recruitment, it was that he's visiting all these places at multiple times of year. He's visiting them in the fall to see what it's like to go to a game. He's visiting in the summer to see what offseason, you know, workouts look like. He's visiting in the spring to see spring football. He wanted to see the year-round calendar. So I thought, you know, with a guy who can basically pick on his own terms and can show up to any college in America that he wants to go to, that, you know, he would have, you know, taken some more visits in the fall and not rushed it and just picked where he wanted to go. But, you know, so am I surprised that this happened? I guess I would have guessed that it would have taken longer, but I'm not surprised that it happened out of nowhere on his own terms and without much fanfare. You know, like no announcement, no recruiting graphic. Nobody knew it was coming.
His first tweet.
It's the most Arch Manning announcement that you possibly imagine. So I think it's fitting.
Yeah, and everyone should go check out Ari's column. Did a great job getting that out, and just shortly after his commitment, I thought some good reporting in there, because you can find people who's going to say great things about Arch Manning because he's a great quarterback. You talk to one coach out there who wasn't ripping the kid by any stretch, but was like, "Yeah, he's a good player. He's probably a 5-star recruit, but this is not a guy." Like, the thing that jumped out to me was like, "Yeah, maybe in year 2 or 3, he's a good Power 5 quarterback." So, while you like to accurately say he was created in like a hype machine lab, he wasn't necessarily created. He's not the perfect specimen who necessarily we can expect in day one.
Yeah.
To be the number one guy.
Well, there's one thing that I left out of the story that I really regret leaving out. And I guess I could just say it here because, you know, we are kind of in a frantic rush to get this thing up, but this recruiting coordinator that I spoke to, that, you know, I wanted to talk to somebody who wasn't in media, who broke down the tape and evaluated him, right? So that's a real life evaluation. And this person has him as the number 9 overall player on his board for the entire country and the number 1 quarterback, which I think is some perspective of like still how college coaches view players. Like, we view players, and I view players as the word savior and, you know, the face of the program and a guy who should start from day one. But like, this person's recruiting board was number 9 overall in the entire country and the number 1 quarterback. And still the evaluation was could be a very good productive Power 5 starter by year 2 or 3. So like, it's just like a different mindset from the types of evaluations and the thought processes that we have as fans and reporters, to the way that actual coaches and staffs and evaluators that are making these decisions view it. So certainly interesting. And you know, everybody's going to say nice things about him. He deserves all those nice things. He's a very good player. But I thought if you were read the story to read a real life evaluation from somebody who does this for a living, that you might see some of the things that he came up with on his own that are a little bit different than what you might find in a 247 profile or on Twitter.
Yeah, totally agree. And another just intriguing part of this whole cocktail, and I think you use the term cocktail appropriately in your story, is the Quinn Ewers factor. A guy that you know well from, you know, following his recruitment to Ohio State, who I don't know if he ended up having a perfect quarterback rating.
He did not.
The composite. It was like 0.9999, and Arch is 10000, one of like four people ever. So, well, he happens to be at the University of Texas and will be just 1 year ahead of, from an eligibility standpoint. No, he's 2 years ahead of him. So, but when you started off being the Athletic's recruiting writer, or maybe a year ago, did you ever think you'd see a roster with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning on the same team?
Well, it just goes to show you that, like, Texas, even though they've been down, inexplicably down for a long time, has the ability to attract top-end talent and should be better than they are. You know, it's just like if you go back and look, you're Mr. Athlon, right? When you guys were doing Athlon magazines back in 2010, even, what was the number one job in America? I'm sure you guys had Texas, right?
We've talked about this, yes.
Everybody had Texas. Texas was the number one job in America in 2010. So I don't know. Things have changed. The landscape has changed. NIL has changed. And, you know, Alabama has become what it is. And the SEC has become even more dominant than it was before. But, you know, Texas has the tools to be the best program in America if things all go according to plan. So, yes, I am surprised that this happened. But the thing that I'm very curious about from your perspective is that, and I talk about this a lot, is the actual, like, what did Texas get here? And what do you think is more important? Did Texas get a really good quarterback who is going to come in and play so well that Texas is never the same again? Or did they get is that more important than the symbolic nature of this, which is what? He could have gone to Georgia. He could have gone to Alabama. He could have gone to anywhere he wanted to go. He had more resources, more time, more money than any other recruit in history in terms of knowledge and you know, things that he could explore, and he found at the end of the road that Texas was the best place in America for him to go. And it's like the weight of that to me is far more impactful than anything that he might do as a freshman on the field there. So, you know, there's no question, and I wrote this in the story and I haven't read it back yet. I hope you didn't edit it out, but you know, Peyton Manning, the day he committed to Tennessee, was
That's in there. Yeah.
You know, was on the phone talking to other guys. And I've made references on Stars Matter and in stories in the past that Quinn Ewers is in a bunch of group messages with five-star prospects. You know what I mean? And I'm very curious. What did I say? Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers, yeah.
Sorry, somebody just texted me about Quinn Ewers because that's the only thing I've read since.
Is he transferring? Are we breaking the news here?
It's a shame that he used his one-time transfer so soon. But
speaking of editing, though, I had a Slack message to you because after you were talking about Peyton Manning, after he committed to Tennessee and talking to all his top recruits, you said the next sentence was like Manning was doing the same thing. Manning was on group text and all that. And I thought you were still talking about Peyton Manning. And I had a Slack message to you saying, Ari, there were no text messages in 1995 or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Then I realized you were talking about Arch, so I saved this.
Yes,
call, you know,
and that's why I said Peyton and not Manning. But yeah,
no, you said Manning. I added. Okay, yeah.
Oh, I did. Oh, okay. So that was a mistake on my end. Shocker.
No, you just said Manning, and you had just been talking about Peyton. So that's usually that's what.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
To. So I added Arch. We're good. We're good.
Which one do you think is more important? If he's on text trans, like, did he change Texas football to you?
Yeah, I think some. I hesitate to say this because I'm a, you know, this is the Stars Matter podcast and you have converted me. If you are a 100% Stars Matter advocate, I'm at 87%. I'm right there with you. But I'm also a Games Matter guy. But how many more games will Texas win over the 3 or 4 years that Arch is at Texas? How many more games will they win with Arch? Like, what's his wins above replacement of just him as a player? Who knows, but it's much greater now because he's there and he's going to bring other players. And I think you've said this all along, is just the belief that if it's good enough for Arch Manning, the most hyped recruit, the number one player in the country, well, it's good enough for that maybe not good enough for Reuben Owens, but it's good for that running
maybe
back.
Maybe it will be now, though, yeah. Bud. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah. So I don't know.
I think I agree with your point. If I was going to put it, I might go like 51-49 as far as symbolism versus actual. Because, you know, Quinn Ewers is there. They're recruiting good players. We know Sark's a good offensive coach. We think they're going to get better offensively, but it's just the intangibles. And one thing I wanted to bring up from your story and everything you read about Arch is, you know, there's good kids everywhere. And just because you love the recruiting game and you want to go around and the photo shoots doesn't make you a bad kid by any stretch. But the people you talk to, you quote David Cutcliffe, who knows that family very closely. He just wants to play ball, sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then the other thing, too, is that like symbolism is two different things. It's how sexy is Texas on Twitter, but also how does that manifest in talent coming? Because to me, you know, I think hitting on a 5-star quarterback equals 3 5-star prospects at other positions. That's my like unofficial math equation. But like, what if Texas wins a lot more games because they have 7 other players that are on their roster now that they wouldn't have before if Arch didn't go? Like the butterfly effect of what this could mean for their roster is still to be written. But I do think that like Texas is a more viable option now for players that are considering going there.
On signing day, we need to give everyone truth serum, and you must say whether or not you would have signed with Texas if Arch was there or not, so we can get a good barometer.
Well, it might not even just be I'm signing with Texas because Arch is there. It might also be like, hey, man, maybe I should go check this out. And then they go there and they like it when they wouldn't have.
There's a lot to like.
It's like there's a prospect, there's a 5-star receiver in DeSoto that the first kid that came to my mind is Jonte Cook, and he's a kid that I saw at an Under Armour camp a few months ago, and I think he's like, you know, let me look at his profile real quick. He's at Michigan, Ole Miss, Oregon, Texas, Florida, and I think A&M is in there too. And it's just like, do you think that Texas didn't just take a huge step in that recruitment? Like, if that kid goes to Texas, he might have gone to A&M if Arch Manning decided to go to Georgia. It's like the impact of that, to me, is every bit as valuable as getting the actual player himself. Not to mention that the idea that he chose Texas over Alabama, Georgia, and everybody else, you know, legitimizes Texas as a viable option for the most elite player to ever walk into the world. So, like, I mean, like, to me, it's an invaluable commitment. And it's like the thing that the headline wrote, like, people were saying it's hyperbolic to say he's the most impactful commitment in the history of recruiting. Who in your mind do you think was more impactful the day that they got there? I'm not saying in hindsight. I'm not saying after 5 years of winning the Heisman. Like, obviously, Tim Tebow was a huge deal to Florida. But when Tim Tebow committed that day, was it more impactful than what Arch did today?
Has a number, and we could look this up. Has a number one recruit nationally ever on the day he committed had that program had a losing record the year before?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, by the time he committed to South Carolina in the latter years of Lou Holtz, I think they won games. So I don't think that's the case. There's already a really good comment on your column from Tom S. I guess this will be our unofficial reader mailbag. Great article. So glad he didn't choose UJ or Bama. Hopefully this brings just a little more equity to college football. Ari, so who do you have making the college football playoff first, Texas or USC?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, would you rather have a Filet-O-Fish or filet mignon at the nicest restaurant in America? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's a legitimate question.
I think
question
that the answer
you.
Would probably still be USC because I think their path is easier. But I do think that, you know, the Big 12 is a winnable conference and Oklahoma, which is the number one roadblock for Texas, isn't what it was a year ago. And, you know, Brent Venables is going to have to prove us wrong on that. So I think both are very intriguing and sexy places again. And I wonder if this commitment in general will transform Texas. It's like everyone's like, oh, boy, here we go again with the Texas is back shit. Like, OK. I get it. Like, you know, you don't want to hear it anymore. And we've been wrong in the past, but like Texas has never done this before. They've signed good classes, but they've never done this. So, you know, I think it's a very intriguing discussion with Sam Kahn, which I'm sure we'll have later in the week or later today.
Yeah.
About like what this means for Quinn Ewers and even Hudson Card to a certain extent. Cause I don't think Quinn Ewers has even been named the starter there yet. But you know, man, I just like Sark has had plenty of doubters, but he just beat Nick Saban and Kirby Smart in the most high-profile recruitment in history.
The fact that we're doing this podcast shows the impact of this. Your story published a half hour ago. I think there's 45 comments on it already.
Well, 19 of them are from me.
Okay, yeah. I see.
Because I like talking.
Yeah, no, I know. And I just look at the comments to be sure there's no like editing mistakes or anything there. So I don't see any yet. Impacted Georgia. I mean, minimal. I mean, how big of a loss is this for Georgia? You know, when you've already broken through and you won the national title, it's hard to say that losing one recruit is that big of a deal.
I think that the legitimacy that Arch brings to Texas already exists at Alabama and Georgia. Like what he's trying to build Texas into is already is Alabama and Georgia. So I think that Texas would have felt the loss of this commitment more, or the loss of Arch more than Alabama and Georgia do. Does that make sense? Especially yeah. considering the fact that both of those other programs in the SEC have already signed or will sign top 50 or five-star prospects at the quarterback position this year or in previous years. So, you know, I think it would have been cool if, like, to me, my idea of like what Arch Manning would have meant for Georgia is the person who turns Georgia into Alabama. You know, the guy who goes to Georgia after they won a national championship with a former walk-on at quarterback and continued the dominance of it. They got over the hump once last year. How do you continue to do that? You get the number one quarterback in the history of recruiting and you keep it riding. Alabama is such a juggernaut that like it's just like I'm sure Nick Saban's like, okay, we got Eli Holstein. We'll see you at the end of the year. But yeah, certainly is. I think this is more impactful from a Texas angle. And I wrote this a month ago, saying that when Alabama took Eli Holstein, that this was a huge step forward for Texas, who needs Arch Manning the most. I believe that today. I mean, this is the most important. He landed at the place that needed him the most, outside of other places like Florida or Ole Miss, who are also tangentially in the picture here.
Yeah, and you mentioned this earlier. This the timing. Well, I guess it caught us. It shouldn't catch us by surprise that much because he was coming off of a visit to Texas, and by all accounts, it was a great visit. And his tight end just committed, so he's following his tight end there, Randall. But it just makes there's really no reason to wait until December. Like a lot of kids truly don't know where they're going to go, and the kids want to see who else is in a class. But if you're Arch Manning, you're doing yourself and you're doing your future program a favor by committing this early. And it's really early in on the calendar.
And now it makes me kind of feel like an idiot for thinking that he would push it back, because when you look at it now, it's like he doesn't want the attention, which is what pushing it back gets you. And you want more time to help build the class around you, which, you know, doing it earlier rather than later helps you do that. So, you know, maybe like looking at it in hindsight, you know, you should have anticipated that it would happen the way that it did, because it's super appropriate. Like when you look at like how he's gone about his recruitment and the way things have gone, makes a lot of sense. I think you're right about that.
Do you remember who was the coach? Was Jim Harbaugh the coach when Rashawn Gary committed to Michigan?
I think he was. Yes. Spot.
I'm trying to think, has a less proven, a coach with less cachet ever gotten the number one recruit? We can go back and look at this, because like at South Carolina, Jadeveon Clowney, but Steve Spurrier was there.
Alabama. Well, who was the head coach when Jalen Phillips committed to UCLA?
Was it Jim Mora? Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Hey, he'd been an NFL coach, you know, but Sark's been at USC. So Sark's went 5-7 in his first year, but this is validation if you're Texas for hiring Sark. I mean, the staff deserves a ton of credit, because by all accounts, it was a relationship process, and they deserve credit for getting it.
Yeah, and it's also, too, it's just like Texas is probably more of a forward-thinking. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a stupid thing to say, because Alabama and Georgia have had really, really good offenses, but like Georgia and Alabama just don't view – I just don't view them the same way that I view Texas and trying to like throw the ball around and stuff. So maybe that's like, you know, a personal thought, but it seems like he's been connected to Sark very closely, in the few months and years that they've been, you know, kind of been, you know, on this trajectory. So, how did you beat Nick Saban and Kirby Smart by being close to the kid?
Yeah. Sam Kahn's working on a story sort of like, you know, how did they get this done? How did they, shock the world. I know you said shock the world in one of your stories yesterday, and someone balked at it, but this is, you know.
Oh, maybe. What's more?
That's fine. Hey, we got a comment from Timothy. Heffernan, how many teams sign at least five top 100 players? And if more than 10 teams sign at least five, does UGA, Ohio State, Alabama sign more than 10? What's your stats? Last year, 66 went to five schools. 66 of the top 100 went to five schools.
I'd still say like over 50.
Yeah. So how many schools sign at least five, do you think, a year?
How many sign at least five? I think like nine, 10 probably.
Yeah. And the barometer,
what's the math on that? Yeah, because like there's only a few one-offs.
Yeah.
Like if you go look at the one at the top 100, it's like some random guy might have committed to Arkansas or Wisconsin or something. Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, it's like the teams like Michigan might get four or five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, teams like that that are in that second tier. Oklahoma's never really quite into that first tier. But they also get five every year. So it's like 66 of the top 100 players going to five schools is lopsided. But if you like kind of extrapolate it out, it's like the top 100 players went to like 15 total schools at all, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And we're going to get out of here in just a second, Ari. But for those maybe who aren't, you know, don't read Ari a ton or don't listen to us on Stars Matter a ton. That's sort of like the barometer that Ari, I think rightfully so, it's the top 100 players. Sure, five stars are a barometer for certain programs and you want as many five stars, but there's only 32 to 35 a year. It's the programs that are getting the 8 to 10 to 12 top 100 players. What Alabama has done routinely, Ohio State has done routinely, Texas A&M is now in that group, Georgia is in that group. And, you know, will this happen to Texas this year? Who knows? Probably not that many, but it's definitely on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the funnest thing about this whole commitment too, is that the fun's kind of just starting. I'm very excited to see, you know, what this means now, like who else is going to commit, like what, you know, what is in store? Are there going to be any fireworks? Is he going to visit other places? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's fun. So, you know, I think I've kind of just been this person that's been waiting for USC and Texas to be really, really good again for the past 10 years. And it's like, maybe I'll keep waiting another 10. But when you talk about steps in the right direction, but like, I mean, this is it. So, very curious.
One giant step for mankind, one huge step for bigger step for Sark. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ari, thanks for jumping on. Good show. It's fun to react to big news like this. We're going to have a lot more to this story coming up. Sam Kahn's working on a story behind the scenes of Arch's commitment. Grace Rayner's working on a story about how number one recruits have fared at their respective schools in the past. Hope to have another podcast discussing this later tonight or tomorrow. But thanks for everyone listening. And this is Stars Matter on the feed of the Andy Staples Show and Friends.